And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 20th, 2024. It is season 18, episode 14. Right? Yeah. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome into the show, everyone. If you want to get in touch with us, of course, the phone number is 272-9228. 272-9228 is the number, but there are a number of other ways to get in touch with us. InGameChat.net is our web address. Just go there and you'll find out all the links to get in touch with us, whether you want to do it through Twitter or X, whatever. It's InGameChat. Facebook, same thing there. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now, you can watch the show on Twitch. Go to Twitch.tv and enjoy and enjoy the view. You can watch us there. You can also join in the chat room. We got Bama Bryant in there and AC Wraith hanging out, and probably some more as everybody comes in. Hey, Drunk Degenerates is in there. Good to see him. Discord. We're also on Discord, where you can join our Discord group and you just talk to us live on the air. I don't think you can watch us through Discord. I could probably set it up that way. But not, yeah, it's a different computer, so, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, there's a number of different ways that you can interact with the show and that you can also watch or listen to the show as well. So welcome into the show, everyone. Let's start with what we've been playing, RJ. What's been keeping your attention?
Well, another run at Balacho that did not go well. I'm still getting to level 6, 7 in Antis, but I can't get that. Just get over that hump to get
so
to
still,
level 8.
Still no still deck beaten yet.
Yeah, still plugging away. Still
That's
plugging
all right. Away. I've been there.
But I'm starting to recognize the jokers to go for. So whenever they pop up, try to move heaven and earth to get them for the style that I play.
Right.
Really. And again, hitting those planet cards on the high scoring hands and trying to maneuver the deck so I can get those things a lot more often, which is I'm figuring out that's what it's all about, really. And just luck of the draw going through that, trying to get that. More Virtua Fighter 5.
Yeah.
Still playing away. I've got a league set up Sunday that I play in, and hopefully I do a lot better this time than last time, because the problem is I'm just being really inconsistent, you know, no significant, I can't get a streak together. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Try to break that habit. So just got to recognize things and react better than I have been lately. Do a little more with Grand Theft Auto Online. They're celebrating 420 this week.
Of course they are.
So there's a lot of emphasis on selling marijuana out of your biker missions and things of that nature, so that they doubled that.
Right.
Gave you some freebies in there just to celebrate the day. They give you double on the story mission short trip, mm-hmm. featuring Franklin and Lamar, and helping Lamar set up his dispensary business throughout Los Santos. So get a little bit extra on that. Tried a little bit with Street Fighter VI as well as Guilty Gear Strive. I was getting all my DLC together.
Yeah.
Going through that, making sure everything was on the up and up. So when I start playing that in earnest again, I'll have everything that I need to enjoy it. And that's pretty much what I've been playing this week.
All right, man. Mm-hmm. Jump it over to me then, and to talk about Balatro. This morning, I don't know when I started the run, But it was a straight run. It was a start from the beginning all the way to the end, and I beat my yellow deck this morning. No issue. So, which I wasn't sure that was going to happen. It just, it kept going, and I was like, this is pretty good. And I did it without... What did I did something.
Something that you're not usually doing in Bellatro?
Definitely that I don't usually do. I went through that entire deck playing two or three cards. That was it. The way the jokers were. In fact, see, I didn't. Once I finished, I was like, okay, good. And I quit out. Let me see. Like, if I can pull this up, because I haven't. When you beat a deck, the game's not over with. It tells you you can either start a new run or you can continue in endless mode.
Right.
Let me see. I'm curious.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if you had the shortcut joker on you during that time.
What's the shortcut joker?
It allows you to skip cards in a series.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't. I can tell you the jokers I had.
Okay.
I had one joker that every time you selected a blind, it would create two jokers if you had room.
Mm-hmm.
I never got rid of that one because it was a foil joker, so it automatically gave me 50 chips every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So that one gave me a joker that said, if you play three or less cards, you get plus 20 multiplier.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but I've seen
that joker before.
Over the course, this was, and I'll tell you, let's see. Play. Yeah, let's do a continue on that one. See where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's doing my score. There we go. Cash out at 21. Okay, here are the jokers that I had.
Okay.
I had the Riffraff Joker, which is the one that says, you know, every blind you select creates jokers.
Right.
The problem was that was a foil. So once its usefulness had been used, I didn't get rid of it because it's still giving me 50 yeah. chips every single time. That is good. Another Joker that I had was, what is that one? Played face cards give 30 chips when scored.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get rid of that one either because it was a negative. Which means I could have
an extra space,
an extra
joker space,
in my joker thing. So I didn't get rid of that. There was no reason to.
Right.
But he was helpful. I had a jolly joker that says you get plus 8 multiplier if the hand you play contains a pair.
Mm-hmm.
I had the half joker, which is a plus 20 multiplier if played hand contains three or fewer cards.
Yeah. It's half a card. So it's ripped in half, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the one that's ripped in half.
So
yeah.
Both of those kind of worked in tandem with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had the Fibonacci joker, which every played ace, two, three, five, or eight gives you plus 8 multiplier.
Yeah.
Then... Because I had the negative joker, I had room for an extra joker in there, and it was the blue joker, which is plus 2 chips for every remaining card in your deck.
Left in the deck, yep.
I didn't get rid of that one because it was a polychrome, which gave me a 1.5 multiplier.
1.5 multiplier, yep.
So, I wish I could tell, let's see, let me view my deck. I had 7 aces in my deck, I had 18 face cards, I just tried to keep adding cards to my deck because that would help the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it would tell me... Let me get run info real quick and tell you. Oh, vouchers. It tells you the vouchers I redeemed. The one that reduces the store costs.
Mm-hmm.
I got that one. I got the one that adds permanently adds plus 1 hand you can play.
Yeah.
So I went from having 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
I got the one that says planet cards appear 2 times more in the store.
Okay.
Then I got the one that says planet cards appear 4 times more in the store. See, what I was doing, I was building up my pair and my 3 of a kind
mm-hmm.
to increase those levels.
Yeah. Did you get it, how far did you get it up to?
That's what I would like to find. I also got the seed money voucher, which is it raises the cap on your interest that you earn. So there's blinds, there's hands. Oh man, I wish I could.
There should have been something on there on the playing field that lets you during run info to let you.
Oh,
know
there we go, poker
play.
Hands.
Yeah.
There we are.
Hands, yeah.
My pair was up to level 10.
Okay. Is that the max?
No, I mean, if I can keep going. Yeah, you can go higher. There is no max because you do, once you beat a deck, you get the option to continue playing that hand, that run past the eight. It's called endless mode.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can continue to, you know, increase that.
I'm doing something wrong then because I've only been able to get it to level six. Any certain hand I've gotten.
Yeah, three of a kind, I got up to level 12.
Okay, that's nice.
So, based on that, in fact, I played 19 hands that were only pairs, and I played 12 hands that were three of a kind. Mm. After that, I played three high card hands, one that was a two pair, and then two that were flushes. And that was it.
Huh.
I didn't play any straights, full houses, four of a kind, straight. I didn't play any of that stuff.
How was your high card?
High card was level one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to avoid high card as much as I
Well, it depends on where. It depends.
Yeah, it depends on what you got set up for. But
if I am running, because I did this on my last win with the blue deck, or I think with the blue, I think blue and red. I'll turn this down. I just wanted to see what I had to let you know. The high card level up. If I'm running like a flush or like I was here, two pair, three of a kind. If none of those options are there, I always go high card. Because more often than not, I am put in a position where I just need to get, I've run out of discards and I need to play a hand just to get rid of cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw up a junk hand and high card will trigger. But if I've got my high card leveled up enough, it's worth doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to do that.
Yeah, but I'm about to say if you're able to do that, because there's a lot of resources put into one of the lowest hands you could possibly throw out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, depending on where you run with your jokers, and again, I only do, because what I started with when I was started my yellow deck here that I won, what I started with was flush. I can remember the blinds. In fact, I should go back and look, but I won't pull the thing out again.
Mm-hmm.
The first ante, I guess you could say. I skipped the small blind because it was going to add a foil joker to the store.
Shop. Yep.
Again, the yellow deck, by the way, starts you with already with like 15, 14 bucks.
An extra 10 with the four that starts. Oh,
okay, yeah, 14, so yeah, 14 bucks. So gives 14, you an extra 10.
Yeah, you get 14 to 15
right,
bucks at the start.
Because when jokers are foil or polychrome or any of those things, the price of them increases.
7 to 10 bucks.
Right. And when you're playing without that extra income, it's hard to reach that number to buy it on that first hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I skipped the first blind, which put a foil joker in the store. I skipped the second blind because it was going to add. It either doubled my money or it added 15 bucks. The one that has the money on there, and so I skipped that one and immediately jumped to the boss blind. I needed 600 chips, and I spent all my hands to get there. But I was running on like a flush, and I thought, okay, it looks like maybe we'll do flushes. If I get planet cards with flushes, I'm going to do flushes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started to. I built my flushes up to, what, three, I think, level three or something like that, what I said, because I had not yet gotten the Joker cards that were going to enhance my pairs and my three of a kinds.
Mm-hmm.
So once those started coming in, my focus then shifted to, all right, we're doing pairs. You know, any time a pair comes up, upgrade that. If it comes up with three of a kind, upgrade that. If you start seeing tarot cards or any kind of cards that will add cards to your deck, go for it. Once I got the face card stuff, then it was like, okay, let's add cards, but make sure they're face cards. I would go to tarot cards that would take one, switch it to, you know, pick two cards, turn the left card into the right card. You know that thing?
Yeah.
And I was making face cards all the time. I hit a spectral card that said eliminate one card in your hand, a random card in your hand, and earn three enhanced face cards. Well, that's perfect.
Yep.
So I was doing this, you know, just adding cards to the deck because of that one Joker.
Blue Joker, yeah.
Yeah, making sure that what I added was a face card or an ace card because I had the Fibonacci and I had the face stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you're looking at what's going to benefit you on what you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully by that time you kind of know what the route you're going to go down.
Yeah.
And I was surprised when I got to ante 8 and I was just like, wow, I'm already at ante. And I really hadn't struggled at all. The boss blinds that came up were not difficult. There was...
So fish, the fish didn't show up, or did you get the fish?
No, I got...
The hook?
Well, I'm trying to tell you which ones I got. I don't remember most of them because they really didn't apply. I was able to early on, because of my Jokers, I was able to play one hand and I was done.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember the names, which is hard. I just remember what the effects were. So you didn't get the one where cards were given to you face down.
I did.
You did? Okay. I think there are multiple ones that do that. Like
I only got the one that does it the first time. In other words, the first set of cards that they give you are all face down.
Yeah.
Which is fine because I could just discard and throw stuff out there. It was no big deal. And so, you know, I played it that way. What else did I get? I never had to reset a blind. You know, I never had to start over. I got the ones where it's like, okay, clubs are disabled.
Yeah.
Diamonds are disabled.
Those are pretty easy to
Little things like that. I got the ones where, I did get the one that said you can only play a certain hand one time.
Yeah.
So once I threw up three of a kind, I couldn't do three of a kind again. Mm-hmm. Once I threw up a pair, I couldn't do a pair again.
Yeah, there's another one that's like that that says you can only play one type of hand throughout the entire set.
And then there's one that says you can only play one hand at all. In other words, you have one shot to make that blind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm pulling this thing back out again. I'm wondering if there is it says run info. Let's go to blinds. Can I look at blinds? It won't let me look at the previous blinds.
Should be in the collection. The blinds that you've experienced before.
The collection? Oh. Will it tell me on this run, though? Yeah, see, it won't tell me which run this is.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I can't be certain as to which one I got. Let's see. Hang on, I can tell you.
Yeah.
No, I never got the hook.
You never got the hook?
I never got the hook.
The hook shows up plenty of times.
Yeah, I got the house, which is one where first hand is drawn face down.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else? I may have gotten the fish where after you play your first hand, all the cards are drawn face down.
Yep.
But again, I blew through so many of these on the first hand that I didn't have to worry about it. All club cards are debuffed.
There was one that was a really huge blind. The boss was a much bigger blind than normal.
Let's see.
I'm trying to remember the name of it, but I can't think of it right now.
I've seen one called The Wall, which is an extra large blind.
That might be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, extra large blind.
Let's see. All spade cards are debuffed. I want to say I got one of those. All diamond cards, I'm sure I got one of those.
There's one of those for each suit.
The Manacle was one of my early ones. That was a minus one hand size, which didn't affect me at all.
There was another one that snatched cards out your... out your hand, like it like drop the amount of cards you got to work with.
The eye is called no repeat hand types.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Let's see, what else do I have? Heart cards are debuffed. I'm sure I had that one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't do the money. No, I got off real easy. Okay, I got very large blind, which is the violet vessel. I do remember getting that one.
Mm-hmm. Never seen that before.
And then the last one that I got, my boss blind that I won against was called the Amber Acorn. It flips and shuffles all Joker cards, which is ridiculous. It absolutely had no bearing. All it did was take your Joker cards, turn them over so you can't see them, and then it changed the order they were in. Didn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
Did not affect me whatsoever.
Because from what I gathered, the order that your Jokers are in can affect the way
they can,
the
scoring
is. So, yeah.
In other words, so what I've got here is this polychrome Joker that adds 1.5 multi. Anything that adds a times, a multi, not a plus, but a multi, I put at the very end of my Joker slots because I want that to happen last.
Yeah,
I want the multiplier to hit after all of the other stuff is built up and then multiply that. You don't want to get a plus two multiplier and then multiply that by 1.5 and then get the rest. You want to have like 50 so you can multiply that by 1.5. Also another good thing that I had was, where's it at? Yeah, I had two steel cards in my deck.
Okay.
And whenever those would come up, I would keep those in my hand so that they would give a 1.5 multi per for that. And I did, it was amazing, the run, for how quick it just was. Like, there was hardly any thought. It was like, we're looking for this. All right, let's move on. Because it really took nothing to beat a hand or to beat a blind. It took a pair, hopefully a pair of aces or pair of face cards.
Aces for the Fibonacci and face cards for the other bonus that you had.
Right.
So
it was a fairly non-stressful run, thinking, oh God, am I going to make this? The most stress I had was the very first big blind trying to get to 600. It took me all hands played to get to like 610.
Yeah, and that's usually when they give you like straight roll flushes and things of that nature, but not this time.
No, not when I had skipped. And so that was about the most stressful part of the run, with the exception, I was a little bit worried about the that last blind because it said flips jokers and then shuffles them.
Yeah.
And I thought,
This won't hurt you at all.
I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know if it meant it was going to throw in brand new jokers or if it was going to shuffle up jokers and then only, I didn't know what it was going to do. And I think it took me three hands to beat that blind.
And that's your last ante?
That was my final, that was my big boss blind that I had to beat. Yeah.
I'd have to get there to those things, and that might take a second. But
I was just real surprised with how fast, probably because I was just playing pairs and threes, three of a kind, and knocking out the blinds.
Simple hands with some very good modifiers in the Jokers.
I don't know what the next deck is in my quest.
The last one you got was the
yellow.
The last one I got was the black
it's
deck.
The black deck then, probably. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How many is it green? Is it green or black?
I got green before I got black.
Or did I unlock?
You unlocked. The last one I unlocked was black, but I did get green before it.
Okay, so I've got the green.
You should be further ahead than me, and you should have at least five decks.
Well, I'm just curious which one's next, and I think it's red, blue, yellow, and I think green is next.
Red, blue, yellow, green, black.
Yeah. So I've got the green and the black deck to go, and then I've got the decks that I've unlocked from beating the previous three decks.
Yeah.
There are more decks, I think, that are unlocked there. I'm not going to pull that thing out again.
It's like 10 or 12 decks, I think, is available.
The cool thing is that after, just like you're dealing with, you know, after a streak of just can't seem to beat a deck, they're not too bad now. And I don't know why. Now, he did update. You're playing on your console.
Yeah.
I don't know if, did an update come out for console recently or no?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the last one I did put it on a 1.0L full. I think it was a 1.03. I think that's the last one I did, but I have to check again to make sure.
God, you're going to make me open this thing again. the creator issued an update, and I know it's out on PC now, but I don't know if it's made it to console yet. I don't think it has.
No.
Let's go to options, main menu. There is a version number. Oh God, my eyes. 1.0.0N full is what it says. Can I click on that? I can't click on that. Okay. I was just curious. Let's see.
I'll just have to check it before I get back, when I load it up again.
Yeah, so I've got the green deck next. At the end of each round, I will get $2 per remaining hand and $1 per remaining discard, but I will not earn any interest. Yeah.
Okay. Earn every penny.
The black deck, you get plus one joker slot, minus one hand every round. Then I unlock the magic deck. Start run with the crystal ball voucher and two copies of the fool. I also unlocked the nebula deck. Start run with the telescope voucher, minus one consumable slot. I unlocked the ghost deck. Spectral cards may appear in the shop. Start with a hex card, whatever that is. Did I unlock any more decks? Nope, I haven't. I got to beat the green deck to unlock that one. So yeah, just looking at that. Okay. That is now the last time I will bust out the Steam Deck and keep, because I keep turning it, keep waking it up, keep putting it to sleep, keep waking it up, keep putting it to sleep. Anyway, other than that, it's been Balatro, it has been Marvel Snap, and it has been Talos 2.
Make any progress?
Oh my goodness, yeah, I'm halfway. Okay. I'm just over halfway through, just past the 50% mark of Talos 2.
And any puzzles that significantly made you think in that run?
I'm going back to think. I don't think so. This has been now. I'm on the other side of the halfway mark, right? So
right.
I don't know if like it's like okay, now we're gonna ramp up the challenge. I've so far. The place I'm at right now was in the demo way back during, God, that must have gone back to October, I guess. Just Next Fest or whatever it was that we were playing, and there was a demo for it. And the current area I'm in right now was part of that demo, so I remember the solutions to some of these puzzles that I've done. And I've already done, you're supposed to do 8, and I want to say I've done 5 of them so far. So I have 3 more to choose out of the... They give you 10 puzzles per area. Not counting whatever's behind the gold gate of each area. And I can't... I haven't been able to unlock the gold gate yet in any section. I do see points of light that start to light up on the gate as I progress. So obviously I'm doing something that is... gonna unlock the gate. I don't know. It hasn't been explained to me how to get to that part yet.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting it do that. But each area gives you 10 puzzles, and you can solve them in any order you want to do. And if you solve the 2 extra puzzles that are given, that counts towards your total of solving the 8 needed to progress from the island.
So you can.
Huh?
So get all the puzzles you can.
Yeah, well, I do them all. I don't, you know, I'm the same way with this as I am with any other game that does this. Finish everything and then move on. So I clear the maps as much as I can. Again, each map has this gate that I can't get past. So I clear as much as I can until I get to that point, and then I move on. So, and I've really, really, really... enjoyed it. Yeah, Drunk Degenerate says he keeps seeing me pop up on Steam because I keep waking up my, the deck and then putting it back to sleep. Waking up the deck, putting it back to sleep.
Oh, you mentioned demos, and that reminded me. I did play a demo as well. I played the demo for Contra Operation Galuga.
Galuga? Yeah.
Yeah. I was a good little remake of Contra. It brought some memories back to me of all the difficulty I had playing.
Well, obviously the the music that we played from it was nothing but a, you know, revitalization or whatever of the main theme of Contra. So I imagine that it was more of a callback to previous Contra.
Run and gun, shoot. They had the one that stood out for me was the instead of the 8, you had the 8-way shooting, and then you had the 360, which it was like pinpoint, actually depending on your analog stick of where your bullets was going to go.
And that was a demo?
That was the demo.
PlayStation?
PlayStation 4, yeah. Okay. And not that it mattered, because if you got the hunter, you don't have to aim anywhere. Bullets go where you need them to go, at the enemy.
Oh. It's been a while since I played Contra at all, much less any of the newer Contras.
Well, it's still standard fare. You know, enemies shoot at you, you shoot at them back. It got the 8-way direction or 360, like I said. The various weapon types that you can use, not a lot, not from what I saw anyway. You have a standard machine gun, and then one of the weapons is another, I guess, a heavy machine gun, I guess. A different variation, but if you keep getting the same power up over and over again, the thing levels up.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a system, the overdrive system. You can do a special attack with the alternate weapon, but you lose it. So you have to be very careful whether or not you want to waste that weapon or not. I mean, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to pick up power-ups throughout the game.
Yeah.
But you still got to be pretty careful about whether or not you want to waste that level 2 or level 3 you built up just for one attack or one enemy.
I'm guessing there's co-op involved in that, right?
Oh yeah, I think it's 4-player co-op.
Yeah, 4-player.
Yeah,
nice. Is Konami still the publisher and the developer?
Yeah, Konami. Yeah,
it's okay.
Konami.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think of them as a video game publisher anymore. Once they kind of got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, I don't know how many years ago where it was they were hardly publishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it came down to one of the only things that they were going to be publishing were, oh God, it wasn't FIFA, but it was a
Pro Evolution Soccer?
Yeah, maybe. It was a soccer title, which was basically what they were down to as far as publishing. It was just going to be the soccer title. And they were going to put all their other efforts into slot machines and pachinko machines.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I kind of just didn't pay attention to them, but they're still obviously publishing and putting stuff out. So kept it going with I almost called them Konantra. Konami and Konantra.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, I see Chris has joined the Discord. So we will jump right in there and talk to him real quick. But that is on the other side of this break. We've got music here. From recent songs, I didn't go back and do the older stuff here. We got recent stuff, recent games. A game that I would like to play, because I think it's Team Ninja. I think it's Team Ninja. Who does Hellblade? Is it Ninja Theory?
Might be Ninja Theory.
I think it's Ninja Theory that does Hellblade. Team Ninja... I want to say this is Team Ninja Rise of the Ronin.
Okay.
That's the most recent thing. And I'm either thinking Ninja Theory or Team Ninja.
Yeah, Hellblade was Ninja Theory. Yeah.
So this is Team Ninja for Rise of Ronin, right? Rise of the Ronin?
Rise of the Ronin?
Yeah.
Let's see. Team Ninja.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, this is the main theme from Rise of the Ronin, and it came out back in March, I believe. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from, oh goodness, Princess Peach Showtime. The new Nintendo Switch game came out never how long ago. Anyway, it's the Peach March is what it's called. Welcome back into the show, everybody. Let's see if Chris is prepared. Chris, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear, well, my friend.
Been playing the same old games here lately as usual, and still working on the Talos principle and stuff. But if you'll go over to the pictures in the chat I uploaded of the VCR components, I have a different bunch of colored circles, and I'd love to explain it and go by step what I had to go through and how much time, you know, how close I came to cussing like a sailor.
Yeah, those all look really, really small, but everything you had to replace, all those little parts you circled, you had to replace?
No, I'll tell you step by step what those indicate and what I had to do, but look at number two. If you see the gray outline and the purple circles and arrows,
yeah,
those two levers are in their natural position, but they were gummed up, and I had to free those up. So normally when the machine engages those, the arrows indicate which direction they're supposed to move when
right.
It activates the levers, but they were all gummed up where they would not move freely. So I've got those fixed. But in the meantime, when I went back and looked at it today, the purple one, that big white reel with the black collar around it, that purple one with the arrow on it, I noticed that the spring underneath that was pulling it back in its positions where it's at was wore out, and part of it was stretched out. So I said, I wonder if I can get that spring out from underneath there, and I want to explain what I had to do to get to it in the first picture.
Okay,
the blue circle on that circuit board was the first piece I had to remove.
Okay.
Now those orange circles, those solder joints on orange on the corners of that circuit board, those were what it looks like are infrared or light sensors on either side that stick down about a half an inch into a plastic bracket that it's mounted to. So I'm figuring that wheel that's in purple, since you can see that it's blocking that beam, that it must be transmitted between those two sensors. And before, the spring was so wore out that it was not pulled into its correct position. So I'm wondering if that may have something to do. I may have fixed something else because of this spring issue that I fixed. So I removed that board with the blue screw. Then the bracket that held that was held in place with the red screw. And then that bracket was held in place by that little metal sheet, that piece of metal bracket to the right where the yellow screws are at.
Yeah.
So I had to take that off of that. And then over there to that green solenoid that's in circles in the light green, that's an electric solenoid that when you push it in manually or when it engages it, it moves that purple lever down. So that's what moves that purple lever when it pulls that circle, that green one in. Now, to get to that spring, there was another mechanism and a C-clamp with a thick spring on top of it. So I had to get that sucker off. And then the other spring that was mounted to that roller that solenoid engages was up underneath everything else in there. And I had to fish everything out with dental picks and long, long needle nose pliers. So I finally got the spring out and cut off the bad section and reformed the hook on the end and made it, you know, good like it was supposed to. Lucky enough, I got the darn son of a gun back on there and then hooked up and fished through with the dental pick and got it all put back together in the reverse order. And I was so fidgety from going through that experience. When I got both springs on there, I had to take about a 30-minute break to calm down my nerves.
Now watch, you did all this stuff, and then there's someone out there that has just replaced a board you can slide out and slide back in.
I highly doubt that. This machine is 42 years old. It's 2 years younger than I am.
But still,
yeah,
it's not impossible. But it's not impossible.
But mechanically, if the brains of this machine still work for years down the road, that's great. But if all my problems were mechanical and I seem like hopefully I've fixed them and all, then I want to test it out later on. But the incandescent bulb, which drives all the mechanisms and stuff in there, actually blew the other day when I was tweaking and messing with those levers, and we didn't realize it. We plugged it back up and turned the power on, and the light wasn't coming on. But basically, you know, with the light off or with it blown, it won't function whatsoever. So I have to replace the bulb to even test all this stuff to see if it's going to work. Which I do have a replacement bulb, but I want to just put that off to tomorrow afternoon and do that another day and take it easy and play and do something very relaxing.
Yeah.
But hopefully I don't have no issues. And if it plays and works fine, or if it or somewhat plays or doesn't do anything, I want to just put it back in the closet and say, well, I gave it my best attempt, but hopefully I'll come out good in the end, but I want to still put it back up in the closet regardless of what the outcome is.
Yeah. Definitely let us know how it all goes, putting it all together there. Because, you know, you've brought us on this journey. We got to see it to the end, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case, and I can update everything next weekend on the show and all. But hopefully we'll have some good news. But since I figured those two sensors that was on that top circuit board, that wasn't being tripped by that roller like it was supposed to be in its neutral position. So that may have had some issue with it not wanting to fast forward or rewind. But once I put that light back in there, I want to test to fast forward and rewind. If that starts working, I'm going to just go ahead and press play and see what happens.
Well, good luck to you.
I hope it won't eat the tape.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He knows. You know better than to put anything in there that you don't care about losing.
Yeah, speaking of the tape and all, I have an old recording that I had from years ago on I think it was Cinemax or something, basically of adult content, which I really don't care whatsoever. It was just recording off of the TV channel, so I don't care if it. I don't care if it eats that tape or not, but I mean, it's just something I've had on the shelf and are in the closet in there for years, and I don't care if it eats it.
All right, Chris.
I'm not going to go no further than that on that. But
just leave it to our imagination then. Sure, go ahead. Now we're just thinking about that. All right, cool. You just could have said, yeah, I got old tape that I don't care what. You didn't have to explain what is on the tape stuff. Then again, I don't know. You know, the only. I don't think I have any VHS. I do have VHS at the house. I do. It is old video because that was what you would use to. I'd get on the internet and we'd do trades of tapes, and so I have the entire collection. And I don't need it now because I found it digitally online where I can do it. Right. But it's the entire collection of the Brit series of Whose Line It Is Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's all on VHS and it's all numbered and everything else. You used to do the same thing with like a couple other shows before you had access to the DVDs of the entire seasons and then what eventually became, you know, you could buy the entire series online digitally if you wanted to. And then what you get now with like a lot of your Hulus and your Peacocks and your I don't know about your Netflix. Probably your Netflix is. I'm not subscribed to Netflix.
Look, there's tons of streamings out there, yeah. But
where the entire series is right there, so I don't even have to worry about that anymore. Mm-hmm. But at least you had that particular tape just on hand.
I don't care if it eats it or not, you know. Regardless, it'll be a one to sacrifice to see if it works or not. But you know, I'm not going to put something in there that I would want to hold on to or. You know,
hey, speaking of, this is just an arbitrary question. Can you still buy blank video cassette tapes?
I really don't know. I haven't thought about it.
I've never given it a thought.
I think I found like five or six ones that may be blank. I've got a good working VCR in my other room that I'm going to plan on testing.
Yeah, I bet I know what you've been playing in that VCR.
Well, nothing like that. But I mean, like I was saying, you know, I wanted to find a tape that I didn't give two hoots about losing or it eating, which I said, well, I don't care about this. So I'll let it eat that one. So
you found RJ found some. Where'd you? Is it just Amazon?
Amazon.
Okay.
Maxwell.
Maxwell
still.
Or is it Maxwell? Yeah.
Maxwell. Yeah, still making them.
Wait, still holy making cow. Them. Those aren't like
four pack VHS tapes.
How much?
$29.
$30. Okay. $30.
Going on to all that stuff about that, and of course, you know, years ago between the Betamax and that VCR combo, that format wars was all won because of that content on that tape that I don't care about ruining.
Exactly. AC Wraith says the internet made Skinemax obsolete. Yeah, it kind of did. All right, Chris. Well. Give us the update, I guess, next week on how that goes.
Yeah, I plan to get my parents over there and let one of them hold the light and hold some needle nose pliers and help hold everything where I can get the soldering iron out and help hold that circuit board where I can replace that bulb. And hopefully that will be all it takes. But before that bulb did blow, it did seem to want to play, but it wasn't taking up the slack on the reel when it was fishing through the machine. So I did get everything hooked back up the way it was supposed to be going. So I have high hopes that it's going to at least work somewhat, or if not all the way, but I'll have to determine that later on once I replace that bulb. So we'll see y'all later, and y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah, you have a great weekend. See you, man.
Yeah. So looking at the Amazon right quick, it's still the same format back in the day, the 2 hour, the 4 hour, the 6 hour, and the 8 hour.
Okay.
VHS tapes still being made.
Yeah, I figured that was the case. Yeah, I've never looked for cassette tapes in a long time, and I wasn't even sure.
But yeah, now I'm questioning who still uses them, like a TV network, a station, or something.
I think I think there are TV networks that still use tape, and they are. They still use tape. I just don't necessarily know that it's that kind of tape.
Yeah.
I don't obviously work in television. I've worked with them before, but I don't know.
So, push it up yourself, folks. They're still available.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're still available.
Which obviously means they're still, you know, like he was talking about, VCRs that are still out there, still just chugging along, doing whatever they need to do. So.
Yeah, mine still works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We are coming up on the top of the hour here, and when we come back, we'll dive into the news. There's some good news. There's some bad news. There's you know, the whole Fallout series. Finished that this week, the Fallout TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into it. I mean, it was good.
Okay.
I don't really have any problems with it at all. But yeah, we'll get into it. We'll definitely get into it. I am not. Well, again, we'll save that for when we get to it. This next track is from a game called, I guess it's called IB.
Okay.
Just the letter I, the letter B. And the name of this track is called Doll. I'm not exactly certain what this game is about or. It was released recently, I guess. I'm not sure anything about it. I don't even know if that's the right way you pronounce the name. But that's what it is, and we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This is from a game called... It's the main title music for a game called Outcast, A New Beginning. No idea what it's about. or anything like that. I have no idea what the first-person shooter or the I have no idea what type of game it is. No clue. But, oh, man, I've got a nice long day ahead of me tomorrow of absolutely nothing planned. And it's wonderful.
Keyword, planned.
Well, the thing of it is, was like weekend before last, I had to get up early so I could catch that ride with the Golden Knights to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then when that was done, drove up to my aunt's place and there's the thunder.
Yep.
Yeah. Drove to my aunt's place, got some stuff from there, and then came back. They were up in Jemison. Last weekend, Sunday, I had to get up early in the morning and drive back up to Jemison again and pick up a washer and dryer and come back. That was an all-day deal because I got back at around noon, and I don't want to sound like Chris, but I had to change the plug and because the
4-prong to 3-prong.
The outlet that I have didn't match the plug that the washer came with. But I was able to take the old plug or take the plug off the old washer, use it or washer dryer, actually take the plug off the old dryer, put it on the new one and get all that stuff done and taken care of and everything else. It took me the rest of the day to get to that point of I'm going to have to tackle this again tomorrow, you know, so I didn't get that done until Monday. But this weekend, I was going to. Biloxi Gambler, going to come to you real quick. I was going to trim hedges and clean the gutters and all this other stuff on Sunday because the temperatures are going to drop. But it turns out we're actually going to get rain. So I did all of that yesterday after I got home. Hours outside getting everything done that I wanted to get done. And now tomorrow, it's going to be nice to just not have to not have anything on my radar set to do. You know, I can enjoy the cool weather. What I may do is work on the bike. I haven't been on my bike in a long time. And when I say bike, I mean pedal bike. I do not own a motorcycle. But I may take a look at that, see if I can get it back on the street. But regardless, if I do or if I don't, I don't really care because I have nothing planned.
Okay.
So it's going to be nice to just
hit that backlog if you got a chance.
Well, no, yeah, I plan to do that. Maybe I'll fire up Spider-Man 2 since I bought that and I haven't played it yet. Maybe I'll see what Biloxi Gambler's going to suggest to play and maybe play that. Hey, man.
Hey, yes. Never any hurry to get to me. I don't care about holding. You said that out loud. You said out loud, I'm not going to do anything tomorrow.
Right, yeah, I know. What's the term? If you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah, you never jinx yourself.
I know.
Don't jinx yourself. Yeah, I got a bicycle I'd like to get running, but you know, it'd be real easy. I probably need to go on YouTube, figure out my brake calipers, you know, the brake pads are on the wheels.
Yeah, they dried out, dry rotted?
No, the wheels are fine, it's just they...
Well, I meant the brake pad itself. Still,
oh, you think that's what it is?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea.
I didn't even think about that. I thought maybe I just need to adjust them and pull them back a little bit.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't even looked at mine yet. It's still under a cover, so I don't know.
I didn't even know that was a possibility. But, I'm not good with mechanical stuff and electrical stuff like Chris is.
I would never tackle a project like that as far as the VCR thing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, I've had two jobs. One of them had the word investigator as my job title. And the other job, I dealt with a lot of investigative interviews that I have to interview, you know, employees and managers and that kind of thing and put cases together. And I did that for many, many years. And as an investigator, I'm going to tell you, people will, most of the time, will tell on themselves.
Uh-huh.
So when he's talking about this porn tape that he has, that's the whole reason he's working on this VCR so stringently. I love Chris's golf, but you could have left out the dirty movie part off Cinemax.
Right? Like, there was, I got an old tape, I don't care about what happens to it. That's fine. I wouldn't have pressed further. I'd have just gone ahead in my head and said, I probably know what tape that might be.
And he's going to be the first tape he puts in, though. God, I hope this works. That tape's got a girl on there he really likes. He wants
to hear. God, I hope this works.
Anyway. But yeah, I probably, yeah. But there ain't nothing wrong with that. That keeps you healthy. That's
what if, what have you, been playing anything recently? What's been going on?
Well, as far as video games, no. I do have a problem. I want, at the casino games, I won over $300,000.
Wow.
And here's my problem. I've got.
What do you have a problem with when you won $300,000?
$68,000 in federal income tax.
But you okay?
Now and then $12,000 in the state of Alabama. I'm not happy with the federal people, and I'm not happy with the state people. Right.
Right. You basically so just got, you won $300,000, and you're getting $200,000.
Yeah, well, 285, and then, you know, I got a tie. That's 10%, so I give 40%. Oh, because for the year, it's $400,000. But anyway, but $300,000 this month, and I've got till July 30th to pay it. So I'm thinking I support the casino more than I do the federal government. So I'm going to go to the high limits room and just bet $10,000 a hand at baccarat till I get rid of the $300,000, and then I don't owe them anything.
I guess so.
Get rid of the money. I don't need it. I don't want it. So that's my gaming. But
I meant video gaming, but sure.
No, it's not video gaming. Now, I hadn't gotten back around to that, you know, because this time of year, you know, I'm putting down, you know, I'm planting fields and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were.
I got a big pasture, big garden. And
I was going to say, he's Biloxi farmer during the summer.
Well, during the spring, anyway, and then a little bit later, I'll be Biloxi picker.
What are you? Not to get into the weeds. I'm curious. What are you planning? What are you growing?
Peas, squash, okra, green beans, snap beans, and you know, tomatoes and eggplant. I got eggplant out there. Got zucchini out there. But with and now picking the peas and the squash do real good every year. And the beans always do real good. I like those because they climb. See, what I do is I run a fence down the middle of the road.
Right.
And then I got two rows on mm-hmm. each side of it to crawl up. Now, those I don't mind picking, but those peas and everything, I got to get down on my knees, and I got to crawl all the way down. And, of course, by the time you're picking them, it's so hot outside that you're like, oh. Why did I plant so much?
I always wondered that about Dad. He would do the same thing because I would be the one that would have to go out and help him pick because I'm lower to the ground as a kid. So
right.
I had to get all that. And I would, God, I hate it. I look back now and I'm like, man, I wish I could plant a garden. And I can, obviously, but I remember back in my childhood how much I hated having to do that. And I just don't know that I want to go through. Like we had, and I just removed one today. Not today, but yesterday when I was doing the yard work stuff. Those tomato cages.
Yeah.
We had, and this thing was rusty and nasty, and Dad had bent it all up because we used it to cover up a hole in the fence.
It was just hog wire wire you wrap around and then twist the thing.
Yeah, but Dad had used it to cover up a
60 of them.
Yeah, Dad used it to cover up a hole in the fence so that the dog wouldn't get out. And this is going back. I mean, Dad died back in 2001. So I only removed that today, and that thing had been placed there years before he had passed. So it had been sitting there getting tangled up in all sorts of... I was worried that it had been grown into all the stuff that had grown over it.
You got any honeysuckle in?
Well, I was able to pull it out today, or yesterday, I'm sorry. I was able to yank that thing out of there and also cut some of the brush that had grown and drag that thing off. But I thought it took me back to how I would have to pull these things out of storage for Dad whenever he would plant.
Yeah.
And then when he was done, I would have to take them out of the garden, clean them off of all the vines that had grown, put them back in storage. Not only that, Dad did the thing that you're talking about. He had posts going down the lane and then these strings coming off the post where your beans would climb up to. Mm-hmm. And
I use garden mesh fencing plastic. I have used hog wire before, but the plastic mesh fencing that they came out with is a whole lot better.
Yeah, and he planted.
It's lighter, it's easier to deal with, it don't cut my hands up so bad.
He did tomatoes and corn. And,
oh, yeah, I got corn. Glad you said that. Yeah, I grow white corn. I don't grow sweet corn, because you can buy sweet corn anywhere.
Yep.
But I like the white corn. And I can make my own hominy, too. A lot of people don't know how to do that. But I like hominy.
This such great video game discussion, I know.
Well, anyway.
Well, there are farming simulators.
Yes,
and
there are.
Games.
There are farming simulators, that's right.
Yeah, there are games where you plant a crop, and, you know, that's what you... And there are people, let me tell you, there are people who would never like to do that in the world, but they will gravitate towards those games that let you farm your own land and do all this other stuff with it and that sort
you know
of thing.
Everybody listening right now, no matter, you can do a container garden outside.
Uh-huh.
Everybody ought to grow something every now and then. You get so much pleasure out of it. It gets you back to, you know, it gets you off the computer screen and away from the keyboard and get outside some and you'll see something. You take a lot of pride in it. You know, it's always good to be able to grow your own food, too.
Yeah. Yep. Always a good thing. So.
And if you need money, you can always sell it, too, because, you know. Of course, now, you know that old joke about, you know, now we're based in Alabama. People listen to you all over the world, over in Germany and everywhere. But there's an old joke about, do you know why you lock your door when you go to church? It's because nobody will stick a sack of squash in it.
Hmm. I have no idea what that means.
Well, because they grow so much squash, somebody will stick a sack of squash.
Oh, okay. Okay.
To get rid of it.
Yeah, I got you. I got you
anyway,
now.
Maybe tomorrow it'll be a cool, slow, rainy day, and you can enjoy just hanging around and then working out in the shop with a bicycle.
That's what I'm planning on doing.
Good. That's a plan. I hope you get to do it, Scott. I really do. Talk to y'all later. Thanks.
Take care, buddy.
Much.
See you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's talk about Fallout.
Sure.
Have you watched any of that? Do you have?
No, I don't have Amazon Prime.
You don't have Amazon Prime?
I've been talking to folks who have watched the show. And my concern that I had with the show was that it was going to be like the reaction that Max Payne got, the one with Mark Wahlberg years back.
Yeah, no, that's
it was
crap.
Like... if you had any familiarity with what it was based on, you weren't going to like the program. But if you had absolutely no connection to the source material at all, you might think it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought initially that was going to happen with Fallout, based on all the things I read about and the reactions and things of that nature. But I talked to some folks after it came out who watched it, and pretty much most of them saying that it's a pretty good show.
Yeah, there's a lot of... great. I don't necessarily want to call it hype. It doesn't feel like hype, but there's a ton of good talk about the show. I really haven't heard anything. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to compare it to anything. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is Last of Us. because that was another show based on a video game.
Right.
Fallout is a different beast than what Last of Us is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's, yeah, I don't want to compare the two. One is a heavy drama.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a comedy action drama thing. You know,
yeah, multiple types of genres you can
take. Yeah, yeah, but it's not really taking itself too seriously.
Yeah, there's a lot of places you can go in a Fallout.
Oh yeah, totally.
Series,
which is nice to do that because you know there's certain parallels to what you do in the game and what you do in this thing and how you know you spend just a lot of time walking the wasteland, mm-hmm. And coming upon towns and things like that. And so that stuff obviously they got right, you know, and the look of everything was just fantastic. They did really good with it, and I'm glad we're going to get more. I did not know that Jonathan Nolan was involved, and he absolutely is. He's the guy that did Westworld over on HBO.
Okay.
And he's done a couple of other things as well. It's is that Christopher Nolan's brother, I think, or something.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really good. Really good with that, and so yeah, they nailed the music, they nailed the costumes, the look. They hit everything. They really did, as far as comparison to the game. So I really have no complaints. I honestly have no complaints.
Mm.
I was hoping for something that would stick with me as far as particular episode or something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, whatever episode that was in Last of Us, I think it was 3 or 4. Episode 3 or 4, the one with Bill, the flashback episode of Bill and how he came to be the way he is right before the whole breakout of what happens in Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
That is an episode of a show that I will likely never forget. There are, you know, those come and go with you as you watch television shows and stuff where it's like, oh, I remember that episode. It sticks out in your mind. And that one sticks out for me. I think it's called Long, Long Time is the name of the episode. And Bama Bryant says it is episode 3. I really can't tell you much about the other episodes of Last of Us, but that particular one is the one that, you know, burned into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout, I can't tell you anything particular about any one episode. There was nothing there that kind of was an episode is like, oh yeah, that's a really good one. If you were like, hey, I'm on episode 5, I'd be like, oh, I can't remember what happens in episode 5. What about 4 or 3? I know what happens in episode 1 because it's the beginning, obviously. I can remember some points of that. I specifically remember episode 2 or 3 of Fallout when they involve the dog. Just because of how that starts ain't too great.
Mm.
If you like animals, there's nothing. I mean, yeah,
it's Fallout.
I know. I get it. And they have to introduce the dog somehow. In other words, which is an odd thing. The dog has a backstory, right?
Yeah. Well, it should.
I don't think he does in the game.
There's a dog. The dog's in all the Fallout. Some
there is. Yeah, and I don't think that they. And I could be wrong. Fallout fans can let me know.
But I don't see anything. As far as I'm concerned, a dog, he just shows up.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think they had a backstory, but they get a backstory in this. It's not the best backstory, but you have to start somewhere, and then, you know, you grow that connection with that animal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there wasn't really a single episode that I could say would stick out for me. Not that there needs to be. Overall, it was great, and it's getting a season 2, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So in terms of standout moments, was there anything like episode 3 in Last of Us that was in-game? Because I don't think there was. The only flashback I recall in Last of Us was the one with Ellie.
Yeah,
back
no.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything like that episode of the episode of the series really did not exist in the game. The characters did.
Yeah.
But the backstory of Bill was briefly touched on in the game through dialogue. The backstory of Bill in the show was touched on for an entire episode.
Okay, and is that the reason why it stood out to you? Because you were familiar with everything in the game.
Actually it stood out to me just because it was one of the most beautiful episodes. The writing on it, the whole pacing, the story, all of it was just immaculate, really. It was it's just that particular episode is one of the finest things I've ever seen on television. Just for how well it was written, how well it was shot, acted, everything about it was just, they hit everything. It really did for that. And so, and that has nothing to do with my I suppose, my bias for it. I don't want to call it a bias because I'm really not biased towards Last of Us, but I played Last of Us from the beginning to the end. I've not played a Fallout from the beginning to the end. Okay. Fallout at all is also, I mean, you look at Last of Us, and again, this is the reason you really can't compare. You look at The Last of Us, and that is a story about two characters, Joel and Ellie, and then all the other characters that come in there. You don't have that in Fallout, the game. The game of Fallout is you playing the game however you want to play the game. I mean, there is a story, I think, in Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 where you go out.
There's a story, there's a goal. There's a goal for you to achieve.
But how you get from point A to point B, or, you know, from the beginning to that end goal, is all based on...
New Vegas in there as well.
Your own way to play.
It tells you what you have to do in the beginning. You get there, and then everything else that happens in between, that's all on you.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, so that obviously gave the creators of the Fallout show, like we can make our own story here.
Yeah.
We can include aspects of what happens in the game or what you run into in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we want to make some of the towns you come across or some of the iconic landscape things that you come across, we can put those in there. But Last of Us had a story that basically was already written as far as the game was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That game told a story that you could translate into a series, which they did. And it had focus on two characters, whereas Fallout didn't have any of that, and they kind of had to make their own story for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And for what they did, that was great. But yeah, I liked it. I have no problem with it, and I look forward to more of it.
Favorite character
in Fallout?
Yeah, in the TV series. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't. I guess I'm trying to remember the names. There's Lucy. I think it's Lucy. And now that's the only name I can remember now. Oh wait, Maximus. I think is the other one. Lucy and Maximus and
the ghoul.
Yeah, but he's got a name, and I'm trying to remember his name too. Holland or something, yeah. But anyway, the ghoul in there as well. Those are your three characters, I guess. But there's other characters in there. And see, that's, I don't know. You know, these characters don't show up in the game, so it's not like I can tell you, oh, that's Maximus from the game, or that's Lucy. No. You know.
Lucy's the vault dweller. Maximus is the Brotherhood of Steel.
Right. It's one character to represent a group of people that you would run into, and not that specific character.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't, I'm not sure.
Wait, other than the dog, is the dog named Dog Meat?
He gets called Dog Meat by the ghoul on occasion. Otherwise, he does have a name. It is basically a lab name, and I don't mean lab as in Labrador. I mean he has I think it's CRX-303 or something like that.
I was about to say, it sounds like some serial number.
Yeah, yeah, basically a serial number. Yeah, it's basically a serial number.
In fact,
in the subtitles, whenever he makes a noise, the serial number shows up on the screen to indicate that the noise came from the dog. You know, whines or whatever.
Yeah.
Sniffs, something like that. So, yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite character on that. Probably Maximus is kind of an interesting character. I'm not really... The ghoul is playing his bounty hunter self, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming across like...
Is Maximus the one who develops most?
Likely. Outside of maybe Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucy's coming from the Vault Dweller aspect. You pretty much know what Lucy's
going to go through. She's going to have the naive, don't know how the world works, and then get that...
She is a central focus of the show. Don't get me wrong on that. I mean, all three of those characters are.
Mm-hmm.
But... I look at the ghoul and I think, when you made that character, that's the only way you were going to make that character. That's exactly the way that you would have made that character. The bounty hunter, the whatever he is, the That's the way you were going to do that. The Vault Dweller is basically the same way, Lucy.
Yeah.
That is representing the player for how they played the game. And so I get that. There's going to be development there because they're going from one environment to a completely new environment. It's like, what is that rite of passage that the Amish go through?
I don't know. What I was saying about Lucy earlier is that you don't know how the world works, and you better learn fast.
And right,
so, and that's her development.
Yeah,
learning how the world works at an accelerated rate.
I can't remember what it's called.
It'll come to you after
it
the show.
It will after the show. Anyway, it's where at the age of 15, 16, or 18, I can't remember how old they are, as a child in the Amish community, you are allowed to...
We got the internet right.
It's
in front
not ramshackle. Anyway, you get to go out and you experience life outside of the Amish community.
Rumspringa. Yeah. See, internet.
Rumshaka. Anyway, you get to go out and experience the outside world that is outside of the Amish community. And that is exactly how you would look at Lucy. She is in this one weird environment. I say weird environment. She's in this environment that she has only known for her entire life. Mm-hmm. And then she goes out to this environment that she has been protected from forever and gets to experience that way. So, yes, of course, you're going to have development growth with that character. But Maximus or Maximilian or whatever his name is, you don't get much backstory on him. You do in some ways, but you don't get a lot of it, which I feel like he has the most room to grow. The ghoul, you get to see his life before he became a ghoul, and you kind of get to see his progression in that. But, I mean, he's a ghoul. He's a devil-may-care guy. He's going to be this way. That's how he's going to go through. I don't see much change coming out of him. Maximus, you do witness change in the show. And given his position, the way the show ends, I am curious as to what happens to him next. Maybe not so much Lucy and the ghoul or whatever. Obviously, they're going to be involved, but I have more of a latch on to him to see how he is going to grow, how he is going to change.
He's the most wild card in the bunch.
Yeah,
you don't know
he is the most that can develop in a bunch of different ways, and you kind of get a sense of that as the show goes on, that it's like, oh, okay, he's turning here to something different, and then it changes again. You're like, oh, well, maybe he's not. And you think it's turning back. So it kind of goes back and forth in that
regard. I'm thinking the conflict between the rules of the Brotherhood of Steel and what he's going through.
I read a comment in the chat room. Pamela Bryant says, Rupshake is that movie Chris had. let's see. Yeah. So yeah, that's my Fallout thing. The other thing about that is the games just exploded in popularity.
Oh yeah,
after the show,
Fallout
has more than doubled its player counts on Steam. Fallout Shelter's daily revenue went up to 80,000 after the TV show debut. Now, obviously, that ain't the $300,000 that Biloxi Gambler had to deal with. But yeah. It did fantastic for the games. It put interest in me. I kind of thought about getting back into it, maybe trying out some other stuff. Apparently there's this whole mod system for Fallout 3 and New Vegas that puts them all in like a one group thing.
Okay, I never knew about that.
It's only for PC.
Mods all over Fallout.
This particular one's only for PC.
Yeah.
And, The way it works is it's a compilation, and I was watching a video of this, 300 and some odd different mods that there's programs that'll just load these things in for you. You don't have to worry about doing each individual one, but it'll do all of them for you. And I thought it was interesting how they made New Vegas and Fallout 3. They actually make a quest. These people modded a quest into the game that will bring your character over from Fallout 3 into New Vegas. The same character with the same stats and everything. You can continue your game through there, which I thought was really, really kind of cool. Still hard to look at. I mean, I know at the time it was amazing to look at, but looking back at it now, it's like, ooh, that looks a little rough, but I may be willing to, you know, if it's, and that's what they say, Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas are some of the best of the Fallout games.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best of the Fallout games. Because the writing and everything else is just fantastic. And so, I don't know, it might be something where I jump back in to do that because I never did. I've got Fallout 4, and I think I got Fallout 76 because it's free to play, or it was free to buy and you had to buy a subscription or something. I can't remember.
I don't know. I never got into 76, but
I never jumped into that either.
Did. I know I have to finish New Vegas. I do have to finish that. But I've got 3, I've got 4. Haven't finished New Vegas, and I haven't got into 76.
I remember starting New Vegas because this video I watched about this mod showed the beginning of New Vegas, and I was like, I remember this. But I obviously didn't play much of it because it doesn't. I don't remember much past that.
Yeah.
So
it may be best for me to, like I did with Sekiro, may as well start over because there's so much you're not going to remember from what you did previously.
Yeah.
You just may as well start over from scratch and go from there.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I stopped with New Vegas. So.
Well, the show has been renewed for a season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that was easily seen as that one.
So looking forward to it then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing. Watching, that's the other thing here. I don't see this show pulling in, like, awards. Not that it has to win me over or anything.
Now, think about it. Has any show based off of a video game won awards? Did Last of Us win awards?
You know what? Last of Us got nominated for a lot. I don't know that they won any. But they did get nominated. I think they did win a few, maybe some technical awards, but not... Mm. Like, that episode in particular was nominated for, like, direction, writing, acting, but it didn't win any of them.
I want to say that... I hate to say it like this, but that's what I feel about the awards that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Best picture, best actor, things like that. But the technical, little technical stuff,
right?
Feels
yeah.
like feels like consolation.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't. It wasn't any kind of a major award thing that I remember. I have to go back and look, but yeah. I don't remember it winning because I was really pulling for it, and I hated that it didn't win. But I was, you know, but that's fine. It's not whatever.
Hey, did it entertain you?
Oh yeah, exactly. Of course.
And that's all that really matters. I've had it now.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We don't have a lot of time left. This is music from a game that I've talked about a long time ago, and I didn't know. I don't know if this is a sequel or not. Actually, I don't think so. The name of this track is called Sanctuary. Or maybe this is the sequel to it. It's called The Veil. This is a game that has no images. It is played by sound only. You basically play as a blind person and you should wear headphones when you play, because the way they did the sound was very very directional in the way it comes. You can hear it if it comes from your left, your right, in front of you, behind you, above you. You can, and then you make, it's a lot like,
that's Enemy Zero.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Saturn game back in the day, you had a VMU unit that told the enemy it wasn't you that was blind. You could see all that stuff. You couldn't see the enemy. The enemy had some type of camouflage that you couldn't see them. The only thing you had was something that would let you hear them.
Yeah.
And based on the tone coming in your headset, that's the direction they were in.
Right.
High-pitched tone meant they were right in front of you. Low-pitched tone meant they were behind you. A mid-range tone meant either left or right. So you had to turn your head and determine which direction it was. So you got a 50-50 chance of picking the right direction.
I think this was a VR game, too. I want to say this might have been a VR thing. I remember playing it at a demo thing at one of the... I think it was a PAX thing or something. I remember playing a demo of it. I thought it was fantastic the way they pulled that off. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to have... I mean, there were things on the screen, the text of what was being said, but there was nothing to indicate where things were. That was all coming from sound. So if you heard a noise coming from your left, you would block left or attack left, whatever the case may be, in order to, you know, I guess make progress or something in the game. So anyway, this is called Sanctuary. We'll be right back after this. ¶¶ Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Dragon's Dogma 2. The track is called Reversal of Fate. That's another one I might get into tomorrow. Baldur's Gate. I haven't played Baldur's Gate in a while. I don't have Dragon's Dogma, but Baldur's Gate might be something. Of course, I am so on my Talos Principle kick that I'll probably just stay with that. And then maybe give these other decks a go in Balatro or something. But Talos Principle is probably gonna eat my time there.
Yeah. Same here.
More than likely. Talos 2.
Balatro, GTA, and whatever else comes to mind. Oh, and Virtua Fighter as well.
Yeah, and Spider-Man, maybe I might. I've been I guess I keep forgetting that I have it.
look, the backlogs that we have, there's a ton of games that we've got that we've forgotten about.
Well, yeah, and I also spent like, what, $7 on that one, so it's not one of those like, I bought this thing, I spent, you know, a lot of my money on it, so I need to play it. And,
you know. It's like when I bought that...
It feels like something I bought on a sale and it just sits there.
Yeah, I bought a 360 and that Tomb Raider remake came with it. Never
did anything
with
it.
Never loaded it up.
Yeah. Let's see what we got in the name. By the way, the Rockstar Games, GTA that you're talking about, GTA Plus is getting a cost increase. I don't know that you... Is that...
I didn't, so...
Is that like the season pass thing?
Some type of monthly season pass thing, and that it didn't... I looked at it and it was like, no, this isn't really worth the purchase to me. I think a lot of others felt that way.
Yeah.
So, an increase doesn't affect me because I wasn't picking that up anyway.
We got more layoffs in the industry. Not that that's a surprising thing because they keep happening, but Take-Two is laying off 550 people weeks after they said that it has no current plans to do so because they would never say that ahead of time, even if they were. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go to a company and be like, you guys planning on laying everybody off? Even if they know, they're not going to tell you, yeah, we do. You'll find out when everybody else does. It's just, you're not going to get that. So, of course, they're going to say that. The anniversary edition of Braid, which I really, really enjoyed, is delayed. But it's going to feature 40 new levels. Some of those broke my brain, as it were. I don't know if I want 40 new ones that are going to do that. I tell you, the differences in puzzles between Talos 1 and Talos 2 so far... I've been enjoying Talos 2 way more than I enjoyed Talos 1. And I don't know if it's because of the puzzles. I don't know if it's because the story or something. I'm not sure. But I just am enjoying it a lot more than I did the first game. So far. I mean, I've got... Hang on, I'm doing it in my head. I got one, two, three, four. I've got six more areas to... do. Mm-hmm. So at least 60 more puzzles to go. Mm-hmm. Then there is the other puzzles that are behind the golden gates that are in each level. And whatever else this thing throws at me, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. As far as an epilogue or I don't know how this thing's going to end. So Talos 1 had all these puzzles you had to do. And then when you got to the tower... Every floor of the tower had puzzles in it as you went up to the top. So there's just a lot of puzzles everywhere. We got a new game announcement, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. This is from, I think it's Warhorse is the name of the development company. I backed the first one on Kickstarter a long time ago. And it'll probably be the only game that I ever do outside of some of the pinball tables I used to back. But the only reason being is because it didn't really get me the game, or did it? I think it did get me the game for free, but it got me into early access and all this other stuff. I don't know. It's not that I was unimpressed with what they came out with. It was just like I really didn't need to back this because I was going to end up buying it anyway. So it doesn't, I don't know. I didn't get it for any cheaper than what I would have gotten, put it that way. However, they said that they were going to announce their new game, and surprisingly, it was a sequel to Kingdom Come Deliverance. So it's Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. I wasn't expecting them to just stick with what they're doing, but they are. And it'll be out this year, which was also surprising to hear. I thought something like this would take a little bit longer to do, but apparently not. Four new images surfaced for The Wolf Among Us 2, even though that game was delayed last year, but apparently it is still going on, so that's good to know that that's going to happen. City Skylines 2 has refunded their Beachfront DLC. It's interesting to note that their Beachfront DLC did not include any beaches. They're giving, that will be included in future purchases of the game, and anybody who did purchase it currently will get their money back. Colossal Order is the name of the development company, and they are really having a hard time with City Skylines 2. They obviously put that thing out way before it was ready compared to the first game.
Yeah, but isn't that the typical thing? The game's out to hit the date, and then we'll fix it later in the patches?
I would say so, but given the release of the first game, which came out and did very well and really didn't have any issues,
mm-hmm.
They opened up the modding for it and everything else. It really did. It seems like if you were going from that to this, it shouldn't. But they also got rid of the modding community. They're not using Steam Workshop to do the mods with. They're using some other sort of thing to do the mods with. And they hadn't opened up mods, I think, until recently now. So there's just a lot of...
stuff has changed.
Yeah. And I read forums and stuff because I'm waiting for the day when people start posting about like, hey, it's at a state where you should pick it up now. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're still not there. We're still not there. That game came out in October. And it is still not in a state of one that people would recommend on buying.
Yeah, well, here come the comparisons to No Man's Sky and...
Well, Fallout 76 is another one.
Fallout 76, yeah.
That is one that has kind of been brought to light here. I knew Fallout 76 didn't do great when it launched. Mm-hmm. And I knew things had gotten better over time. But after the whole show coming out, I looked further into it. And apparently it's at a fantastic state.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, the community for it is—I've heard nothing but praise for the community of that game, helping out new players and everything else. Just really, really good. As long as you're set to pacifist mode, if you don't, you will engage in PvP almost right out of the gate, and you will die a lot because you were not prepared.
Yeah, because that's what sounds like
it does,
like
doesn't
GTA.
It? Yes,
sounds
it
like
does.
GTA Online. How many times have I been standing there trying to do something else and suddenly a sniper shot, you're dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to bring up here, I didn't get around to the Indie World Showcase that Nintendo did. Maybe we'll do that next week. The only thing I was going to get around to is almost a personal issue, but Rokat, the headphones and peripherals that they release for PCs and consoles and stuff, Turtle Beach is getting rid of that line. We felt that time and resources would be best spent focusing under a single brand. And so they're getting rid of the Rokat line. I was using a Turtle Beach for a long time, and I was going to eBay when I needed to replace it because these things were discontinued that I really, really loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, when I had to find another headset that could give me exactly what the Turtle Beach was, I found it in Rokat.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bought this, it was an upgrade over... this was one I could find in a store, not one I had to find used or whatever the case, because they didn't make it anymore. Got that one, and I still use it now. But I was playing Destiny, and I was hearing things I'd never heard before. It was just like playing a completely different game.
Yeah.
Because of the way the sound works. So I'm big into... the fact that, you know, sound matters in a video game, obviously, but it was just a really great experience.
Yeah.
So, be on the lookout for Rokats because I'll have to start stocking those or find my next headset that gives me everything that gave me. I'm not in need of one currently, but when that time comes, I want to be prepared, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, when we first looked at that thing, it was at a ridiculously good price that we had. I want to say it was around $40 or $50, as opposed to the $70 to $75 that it is now. But I ended up buying one, two actually. Scott, you bought one. Anybody else you talked about had bought one as well. So it was a very good product. It did its job, and it did it beautifully. And now to see that it's going away, dang. Can't keep the good stuff around, can we?
No, we can't. Speaking of, the good segue into the fact that we have to go now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I'm choking to death. So, with that being said, thank you everybody who had joined us in the chat room there. Thank you for everybody who called in, Alexa Gambler and Chris. Sorry, I'm recovering from, seriously, I just started choking. Tar Cell, Regress, oh gosh, Mark Zink, Mikuru X, George, W2MS8P, Foxty, Drunk Degenerate, Strapsnat, Donk, Bama Brian, ASMR, Maru, 8Vs, 8Row, Darla, Alaya, whatever. Everybody in the chat room, AC Wraith as well. Thank you. We gotta go. Here's music from Alone in the Dark. It's called Welcome to Dersetto. See you next Saturday.